The Veterans Administration in Alaska has made big strides in improving care over the last few years, but people still fall through the cracks. In part one of a two-part story, KSKA's Zachariah Hughes explains how difficult it's been for one ex-Marine to navigate VA care and what's at stake for thousands of veterans coming on the rolls each year.
I first met Scott Harrison on an indoor soccer field in Wasilla back in August. He was one of dozens of veterans who attended a listening session with the Secretary of the VA and spoke about the problems he's had accessing his benefits. Scott was candid about the scale of misfortune that he's faced in his life and with the VA in Alaska.
I've got 6 years of absolute proof positive of the crap that's gone on, the discrimination, being told I'm worthless, being told I should go pay for it myself. I've lost my home. I've had so many surgeries, I can barely walk. From standing in this line for 30 minutes, I will go home tonight. I will lay in bed for 2 or 3 days with pillows between my legs because of all the spinal fusions and damage I have.
I followed up with Scott the next few months to figure out how things could go so wrong. Was it his fault? Was it the VA's fault? Where is the design in so much calamity?
Ow.
The next time I saw Scott was inside the cramped, cluttered one-room cabin he rents off a side road in Big Lake.
Yeah, what's, is that your back?
I just got to move a bunch of times, sorry. It's just the nerve damage.
Scott sat cross-legged on the broken hospital bed where he spends most of each day. He rolled cigarettes and showed me scars from different surgeries.
I'll pull it up so you can see. It's pretty...
The basic issue is this. After his service, Scott's leg started freezing up. He'd fall to the ground, unable to get back up. This would happen multiple times a day, but by his 40s, it was getting more severe. He says it's related to an old back injury that first happened when he was in the Marine Corps in the 80s, constructing gun bunkers. There was a problem with the equipment, and Scott fell dozens of feet to the bottom of a pit. Scott says he remembers getting medical treatment for that particular injury, one of the few, because usually he'd grit his teeth and just tough it out.
You know, you're supposed to be Marine tough, and here just, you know, yeah, you've got arterial blood spraying. Here's a Band-Aid. Take an aspirin.
By 2007, doctors were telling Scott he needed urgent medical care, but he couldn't get an appointment at the VA. This was right at the height of the dysfunction for the VA in Alaska before they launched a series of reforms. An inspector general's audit of 16 VA offices across the country in 2009 and 10 ranked the Anchorage regional office as tied for last in standards of care. Meanwhile, Scott's health declined, and he sold off equipment and possessions while a messy property dispute played out in court. By 2013, the VA had Scott scheduled for a surgery to fix cervical discs in his neck, and the plan was to follow that up with a spinal fusion. He had just enough money to make it through recuperation.
Well, that's when we had the government shutdown.
That delayed his next operation, but Scott couldn't work, and the 8-month period between surgeries wiped him out financially. Court records from February of 2014, a few weeks after his spinal fusion, show him facing eviction. And by then, there was another backlog in healthcare appointments at the VA facility. It would be almost a year before he got physical therapy.
Basically, I just laid on a bed in here. I had to be taken out by ambulance several times because my muscles just cramped and locked, and I couldn't even physically get out of the bed.
Scott is somewhat more mobile now, but he's stuck. He's living on about $1,000 a month through Social Security insurance and public assistance. Most of that goes to renting a poorly insulated cabin the size of a tool shed. The stove is torn apart, and even if it weren't, there's not enough counter space for Scott to cook.
At this point, I'm living on nothing. I have no hope. I have no future. I've called the suicide hotline just to have somebody to talk to because sometimes I just go nuts.
Between the pain and the poverty, Scott almost never leaves the cabin. One of the only people he has any kind of relationship with is Diane Williams.
And he's not physically able to get stuff done. I mean, he physically can't do it.
Diane knew Scott's older brother 20 years ago, who, like all of Scott's family, has since died. She saw Scott's name in the paper this summer after his testimony at the VA hearing and reached out to help.
He doesn't even seem like the same person. And that's sad. I mean, he's not that old yet. He should still have life ahead of him. More than what he's got now.
Diane doesn't think many solutions will come from the VA. Her hope is to get Scott into a better house, one where he has more room, can cook for himself, and see a little bit more of the outside world. But all of that depends on unlocking the funds Scott would be entitled to if he can show that his current health crisis is due to the back injury from his Marine days. But according to Scott, that process can't even get off the ground because the VA can't get him a copy of his service records. Tomorrow, we'll find out why. In Anchorage, I'm Zachariah Hughes.